we're coming again to the third chapter of Jonah. I was surprised. I thought I'd only got one chapter left. I thought we'd finished the story this week, but no, because chapter 3 has something profound. Well, chapter 2 had something profound as well, and so chapter 1. But chapter 3 is the heart of the message in a real way. It's about revival. I don't know if you're aware of this, but prior to this time, there hadn't really been a move of the Spirit amongst the Gentiles. It wasn't time yet, in a sense. And yet, in the story of Jonah that we read there, God did something in that pagan, Gentile, violent place. He broke in. God broke in and changed everything. And that's revival for us. And if you're feeling discouraged, you put the news on this morning, and well, I don't know if you did, but if you did, you look at the world around us, you think, where are we? We're going to the dogs, of course. But friends, in the midst of all that terrible stuff, God can do things. And God is doing things. And I don't know if you're aware of what our country was like in the 1750s. It was a terrible place. There were highwaymen everywhere. You couldn't go around. It wasn't safe to be anywhere. People were high on drugs. It was drink at the time. There were more gin houses than anything else. It was a terrible place. And the fact that the church was down and out. The king complained. Half his bishops were atheists. And you think, well, what can God do? Well, God sent revival. Turned it around. The whole nation changed. Through the likes of John Wesley, and in Wales through George Whitfield and others. You know, God can do amazing things. And so the story of Jonah, the history of Jonah, is a great encouragement as well. God wants to save people. So here's the story so far. Brave and a foolish man. Well, he was brave in that he went where you and I probably wouldn't want to go. Into the lion's den, literally, almost. Well, he ran away from God. That was the foolish bit. You can't run away from God. It doesn't work. And then God sent a ship to take him into the middle of the ocean so that he could get onto a submarine. Right. And you know the story. Those men that saw God working in a storm they'd never seen the likes of before, now give praises to God. Well, Jonah was a very reluctant missionary to the sailors, you'd be sure of that. And he's an extremely reluctant missionary to the people when he comes out of the ship, out of the submarine, the whale, or whatever fish it was, I think it was a whale. And he lands on the shore, and we come to the chapter now, after his prayer. His prayer, we saw last week, was full of psalms. The Bible supported him in his hour of greatest need. And that's what you'll need to know too, dear friends. The Bible is a source of help and hope for those that are struggling. Praise the Lord. So, where's he going next? Let's have a look now then. I've got chapter 3 there. It's written up there, but I'll read it if I can find it. If you can find Jonah in the Bible, you're a better man than I am. He's in there somewhere, isn't he? Just after something and before something else. I know. Keep going. Found him. Chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to that great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. And then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. So easy to read, but that was one of the most profound changes in the history of the world. So let's have a look, let's see. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I hope you're encouraged by this. It came a second time. Why didn't God get somebody else? Jonah, you failed. You blown it, boy. Get out of my way. I'll pick somebody who'll do the job. Why didn't God do that? Because God is gracious and God is merciful. He's willing to give you another chance. And that's good news, isn't it? God's willing to give you another chance. But there's also another reason, I think, is that Jonah's the man that God had picked to do the job. He prepared Jonah. He was preparing Jonah. He's the right tool to open the lock of Nineveh. And we'll see why, perhaps. But why didn't you get somebody else? Well, there's an old song. I'm full of old songs these days, you know. But it's this. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. That's true. You know, there's lots of things other people can do. They may have gifts by the ton. And they can do all sorts of things. And maybe you can only do a few things, but it's yours. God's given you the word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Right, so the message was, well, before we get there, I like this. It looks, oh God, of second chances and new beginnings, here I am again. That's good, isn't it? I'm so pleased. God is good, you know. Right? If God gave up at first attempts, there'd be nothing happening, would there? That noise of God who perseveres with us and keeps at work on us till he gets us where he wants us to be. So, oh God, there's second chances and new beginnings, here I am again. So maybe that's all you need to hear today, but that's a good thing. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Right, and so, next please. He tells him his marching orders. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Right, that's his marching orders. He's got to go. Go to Nineveh. Notice God hadn't changed the plan. Same plan. So that's where he's going to go. That's what God tells him to do. And he says, you tell him what I give you. Jonah, you don't have to make it up. You don't have to invent some cock and bull story. You just tell him what I tell you to say. And that's all I want you to do. And folks, that's all God calls us to do. He doesn't call you to be a genius inventing great things. He just says, you do what I'm telling you, and that'll be enough. Good, isn't it? That takes the load off your shoulders. For a preacher like me, I don't have to save the world. That's Jesus' job. I just have to tell you about the Jesus that will save the world. That's good, isn't it? So, go and tell Jonah. And the question is, why did Jonah obey this time round? Well, if you've been 3 days in the fish, it might persuade you as well. Right? That's possibly one of the things. But, I don't know. Maybe there's just the pressure of God on him. You know, I've got to do this. Have you felt like that sometimes? That the power of the Spirit of God in your heart means, you know, I'm not looking forward to this. I'm not taking this on lightly, but I know it's the right thing to do. And I suspect that was partly Jonah as well. He had been well persuaded by the fish, I'm sure, but there's more to it, I'm sure, in his heart. So he went, he obeyed God this time. And what happens next? It says, now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. There's an aerial view of present-day Nineveh, the ruins that are available. This is the outlying city. This is the main city of Nineveh. It's about seven miles round. But he says it's 3 days to go through. Well, as you can see, it won't take you 3 days to do 7 miles, will it? But what's all this about here? This is what we call Greater Nineveh. It was a capital city. It was a big place. And, you know, he didn't just cram them all into the city. I suppose that's where the king and the others, the posh ones, live. But the rest of the place was outside. And Jonah was told to go through the city. 3 days he started to go. He started on the first day. So it was a very important city, required 3 days. Next, please, then. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. So he went into the city and that was his message. That was all God told him to say. 40 days, time's up. Great message, eh? Now then, how did God get the attention of the Ninevites? Right, no, they could have just thought, here comes some old fool, you know, with his sandwich board. Yeah, why bother taking any notice of him? Yeah? Why? How did God get the attention of the Ninevites? Well, possibly, I don't know. Maybe the message of the sailors got back. After all, the sailors were heading towards the other side of the world. So maybe it wasn't the sailors that got the message there, or maybe they turned around after their experience, I don't know. But the sailors' message, I suspect, got back to Nineveh. You know, news travels, doesn't it? Oh, the grapevine, you think the grapevine's fast today? Believe me, it was fast in their days as well. Possibly the sailors' story of this amazing event in the sea of what happened when this Jewish man got chucked overboard and the storm of a lifetime suddenly gone. Right? Supernatural. They knew it was. So possibly that. Or maybe, after you spent 3 days inside the digestive system of the fish, you might look a bit odd. His skin might have been bleached, his hair a funny colour, you know? So, I mean, most of you do look odd, but you know what I mean. A little odder than normal. Yes? Well, thank you very much, yes. I hope you appreciate that, yes. Right. We're all odd, yes. Lord's peculiar people, you know. Possibly that. Jonah's appearance may have been strange as well. But underlying all of that, God was at work. God had sent Jonah on the mission. God was at work. Maybe he'd been at work before in Nineveh. Maybe there'd been some events. Something had happened in the local newspaper or whatever they had in those times. Yeah, that got people worried, got them thinking. You know, God can do that. Sometimes he pulls the rug of safety out of from under society to get them a little bit more nervous about where things are, so that they start thinking not about their own luxuries and their own comforts, but about eternal things. God might have done that in Nineveh, I don't know. But the Spirit of God was at work, so that when Jonah arrived, they were ready.
Amen.
Right, so we need to pray for the Spirit to work, that's the point. Yes, Jonah, the Spirit's at work. He wasn't too keen on this, but then he says, and what kind of gospel message did he have to give them? It was a great message, wasn't it? 40 days, kabam! That's a great message. It is a great message. Because that's still true today. I can't say it's 40 days now. But sometime this world's going kabam. Right? And God is going to judge this world. And what happened in Nineveh? They got the message. Right? God is going to judge this world. But for them, Jonah gave them the countdown. So let's have a look. Yes? Right? Tick tock! The clock's on the go. 40 days from now, Jonah says, and you've had it. Now, I've got a little question there. I don't know if you can see that there. Did God mean it?
Yes.
Did he?
Well.
Are you sure of that?
Yes.
Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Right. God did mean it, but there's an unspoken condition in the message. That's the point. What was the unspoken condition? They picked it up actually. If they change, God will change his plan. Right? That's the good news. Right? That is the good news. If you change, God will change in the way he deals with you. Right? If you don't change, yes?
Would you say, from the previous slide, would you say the response of the king influence the people? Because when you look at, say, like, with Pharaoh in Egypt,
yes.
I mean, God sent messages.
The response of the king might have, we'll come to that in a moment, but the response of the king followed the response of the people. He says, when the news got to the king, and all the people started changing, but obviously the king followed that line and encouraged it, I suspect, as well. But yeah. So, the message is, if you don't change, kabam. Right? If you do change, well, you never know. Right? That's as positive as it got. Right? Okay, so, next please. Ninevites believe God, it says. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Well, there's a man in sackcloth. I don't know if he's begging or whatever, but why sackcloth?
It's rough.
Why put on rough stuff? It's humbling yourself. It's taking away the comforts. Yes? It's trying to concentrate your mind on things that matter now. And so they put on sackcloth. They went around mourning, we'd say, in that sense, right? So, And putting on sackcloth isn't going to make any difference, is it?
No.
What I put there is, it's an outward demonstration of an inner change. Something's happened to these people that makes them want to put sackcloth on. Something's changed. People don't go around in sackcloth all the time, do they? Well, they do now in Nineveh. Something's happened on the inside that means now they're changed on the outside as well. So let's move on. Right, and it says this, as you mentioned, it says, When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his robes, his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man, beast, herd or flock, taste anything, and do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? Well, we'll see. So that was the message the king proclaimed. He gets everybody to go follow the line. And the leader that makes the right decisions is a good influence. Right? That's important. Yes? So let's have a look. So what happened in Nineveh? Number one is, first, they heard. They heard something. Jonah's preaching is what they heard. Wasn't a long sermon, was it? 40 days, and that's it. Right? Even I can give a message like that, yeah. 40 days, and that's it. Right? But they heard it. That's really important. That's why God sent Jonah to Nineveh. If someone hadn't gone, they wouldn't have heard. And that's what we have in Romans. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? We've got to share the message. Jonah, you've got to tell them. That's the message. So they heard a message from God. Right? And next is, they believed God. It's not simply that they believe in God, but they believed God. They believed what he said. Let me give you an illustration. I was trying to think of one that might be helpful. Right? I believe in politicians. I believe they exist. I believe that they're in Parliament. I believe that there are politicians who make laws. Right? I believe in politicians. But do I believe politicians?
No.
They say one thing and mean something else. Right? So when it says they believed God, you get the point. It's not that they suddenly came to believe in God. They did that as well because they were pagans before now. They came to believe in the God who made the heavens, the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. They believed in this God that Jonah was obviously demonstrating to them. And they believed what he said. That's the point. They believed what God said. And that's the crunch today, brothers and sisters. Right? You'll have plenty of people in plenty of churches who'll say, I believe in God. But you ask him, do you believe what he said? Well, it's myth, fairy story. Do you believe he made the world in 6 days? Well, science says, well, science can say what it likes, friends. It's all the opinion of man. God said, and he was there at the time, I did it this way. And when we talk about a global flood, do you believe what God says? It wasn't a global flood. A global flood messes up all your dating, you know. It does. And what's the evidence for a global flood? There should be catastrophic disasters, death on a mass scale. Well, you find that. That wasn't millions of years. That was the flood year. Right? So, I believe what God said. And there are plenty of people in churches, in Bible colleges and everywhere else. You ask them, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe God? Well, they wouldn't quite put it that way. That's another story. Right? You're meant to believe God. Because he knows what he's talking about. Far more than some of us well-educated. I'm not against education, dear friends, you know that, yeah? But some guy who's so smart he thinks he knows better than God is not smart enough yet. So, they believed God. Well, they did right to believe God. Because God meant what he said. Right, next please then. Next, that belief made them respond. It says they responded to what he said. They put on sackcloth. They humbled themselves. Right? They humbled themselves before God. That's number one. It's then that it says they then went without the food and the drink. No, that was the proclamation. No eating and drinking. They fasted. Why did they fast? a sign of repentance, and I suspect when you know you've got 40 days to go, your appetite's not too brilliant either. I don't know, but that's the idea. Yeah? So they humble themselves before God. No more pride, no more arrogance, no more looking after number one. We are in the hands of a God who could go like that, and we're gone. So they realise the mighty power of God. Next, please. They responded to what he said in sackcloth and fasting. It says, then they prayed to God. That, just that little line is so important. They prayed to God. Well, the week before, who and what did they pray to then?
Their idols.
Their idols. Any old god that would do, you know. And Nineveh had a great collection of gods. And none of them were any good. Right? Now they are praying to God, the God who has spoken, the God who has spoken into their hearts. This God is the one that they're talking to. They're talking to the right one at last. They prayed to God. And what do you think they prayed?
Save
us, have mercy. We're sorry. Sorry, have mercy on us, forgive us. If you do that, if people do that, there's a hope. Right. Then it says they changed their ways. How about that? It says the king gave the order, let everyone give up his evil ways and their violence. Who knows? Yes. Give up their evil ways. Well, we don't have evil ways, do we? Attitudes, wrong ways of thinking, wrong ways of behaving, they're evil ways. If it's contrary to what God says, you either believe God or you believe yourself. Right? God calls it sin, you better agree with it. And so they were to give up their evil ways, their wrong attitudes and all of that stuff. Turn your life around, and that is required. To be a follower of Jesus, you can't keep going in the same direction. There's a change needed. Turn your life around and start going God's way. For some people that's more radical than others, but it's true for everyone. If you were brought up as a nice little boy and girl in a Christian home and all things went nicely for you, you'll still find that there's a need for a change in your life. If you're a complete rogue, you'll find out you definitely need a change in your life. But it's true for all of us. There needs to be a turnaround. What does repent mean? Yeah. It's called metanoia. You want a bit of Greek, I'm sorry this morning. The word for repentance is metanoia. It means to change your mind. A change of mind. That's what it's about. Has God spoken to you about things in your life that need turning around? Now, I've said this before, it's well worth reminding ourselves, is when God calls us to change, he doesn't mean to say he's going to change everything at once. Now, he picks on the things that are important and strategic in your life at that time. Because if he changes everything at once, it's a bit like man, I'll give you an example, if it's about like someone climbing a mountain, you know, a rock climber, right? And when you're climbing rocks, you've got four things to stick you to the rock. Two hands and 2 feet. Right? If you keep both hands and both feet stuck on the rock, where are you going?
Nowhere.
If you take all of them off, where are you going?
Down.
If you take off a few, change a little bit at a time, you'll progress. Right? So God works in that way, but there are changes that are necessary, all the same. They change their ways. Right? And so, this is a story, a history about faith and repentance. They believed God and they acted on it. And we find the same true of Peter. He talks to us. He says this, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, right? And their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. So it's what you say and how you live is what he's getting at. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you want God as your friend or your enemy? That's what it boils down to. Right? Do it his way, seek to please him, you will have the best of packers in the world, right? And in the world to come across. Now then, what they did was accepted by God. And I've got this, Jesus accepted their repentance when he's talking about them. He accepted their repentance as a genuine response to their new faith. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 11. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. What does he mean by that? The men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment. It means that they were, first of all, they were real. Yeah? This was not a fairy story, this is not just a myth. They are real people who lived and died and gone to heaven, and they're going to stand up at the time when God judges the world. The men of Nineveh are going to stand up, and they're going to be said that they're right. God says, you're right, you're mine. They will stand up and turn to those who aren't right and condemn them. Say, you didn't believe what God said through Jesus, and we believe what God said through Jonah. Yeah, they let nothing into it. No, but you've got the point. Jesus backs up the story of Jonah. I want to repeat this, you know. You say, do you believe God's word? Well, do you believe Jesus' word? Well, Jesus believed about the story of Jonah, that it was true, it's real. And he says the guys that died, the women, the people that died, they're going to rise at the resurrection. And they're going to be okay, because they trusted God and turned from their sins. Fantastic. That's the gospel, friends. They believed God and turned from their sins, and as a result, were forgiven. Right. Let's have a look next, please, then. Here we have, that's the king, by the way. He's a sinner like the rest of them. But the sinner has some brilliant logic. That's the way I put it anyway. He says this, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The logic is simply this. If God is a God of mercy, then if we change, he may be merciful to us. That's a reasonable, logical argument. If that's the kind of God we're dealing with, and he doesn't want to destroy, then maybe, if we change, he'll change his decree. Okay? That's one of the things, right? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So they believe that judgment was coming, but there was a possibility of a way out. Well, that's great. And why would they think like that? Why would they think that this God might let them off? Jonah's an example. I wonder if Jonah's story had got out during those 40 days. Do you know, that rat ran away from God. He disobeyed God so much that God had to get a submarine to get him back to us. Yeah? Yeah? He was so wicked and disobedient to God that he deserved... Well, that's just like us, isn't it? Well, if God did that for him, who knows? He might do that for me. The interesting thing is, dear friends, they're not being presumptuous. God's got to forgive, hasn't he? Because God's a forgiving God. So we just say sorry and carry on. That's not getting forgiveness, dear friends. No, they weren't being presumptuous. God's not got to forgive. It's all of grace, dear friends. But God's willing to forgive. And he's able to forgive. And he will forgive if you turn to him. That's the point. Right? So, this guy's got some brains at last. Right? After worshipping false gods for all his life, suddenly he's got in tune with the real God and his head started working properly. At last, the light's been switched on.
God's Holy Spirit convicted him of sin, righteousness,
right.
And judgment.
The Spirit made him aware that judgments are coming, and if he doesn't change, judgment will arrive. Next, please. God's response to their response. What a verse. Eh? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Now, there's something wonderful about that. God saw what they did, right? He saw what was going on the inside. It was genuine. It was real. And God saw that they turned from their evil ways. You can't fool God, you see. He knows what's going on. You know, he can look nice on the outside and appear wonderful to all the world, but God sees what's happening on the inside, indoors, when nobody else knows. God sees. And he saw that they changed. And when he saw they changed and then responded to him, he says, okay, I'll stop the clock. Yeah, wonderful. And here we have Peter saying, 800 years later, thereabouts, Jonah lived in around 800 BC. Now, 800 years later, Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to to come to repentance. Peter's saying, the clock's ticking. The world's under judgment. One day, kaboom, that's it. Right? And someone might say, well, it's taken a bit of a while, isn't it? And Peter answers by saying, God has got all the time. Right? It's not that he's in a hurry. The reason he's taking all the time is not because he can't, but because he doesn't want to destroy. And he's willing to give you time to turn to him. Isn't that merciful? Mm-hmm. Do you know, if God had brought the world to an end in 1643, whatever year that was all about, I don't know, yeah, we would be there, would we? We wouldn't know Jesus. Right? So God was waiting for to bring the end of the world for you to be involved as well. Yeah. Wonderful. And he's still the same today as he was in Peter's time and in Jonah's time. He's not willing, not wanting anyone to perish. God didn't make creatures to smash them. No, he made them in order to show his glory and to experience his love. Right. Now then, this is an interesting one to think about. What would the sceptics say after the 40 days were over? Right? We've got there are sceptics about, did you know that? Right. What would the sceptics say after the 40 days had gone? It wasn't going to happen anyway. It was just that jerk Jonah giving us a bit of a fright. Right? That's what the sceptic would say, yes. Right? It wasn't going to happen anyway. It was just that jerk Jonah. So how would you reply? What would you answer them? How would you answer them?
Better to be safe than sorry, really.
Sorry?
Better to be safe than sorry.
Better to be safe than sorry. That's a good one. I like that, yes, yes. Better to be safe than sorry, yes. Yeah. But Jonah's your evidence, isn't he? Jonah was spared the judgment, although he went through the judgment. Right? So what happened to Jonah was proof that God could do what he means, or do what he said. Right? Jonah disobeyed punishment. Right? It's just that God found a way through Jonah to show mercy as well. Right? So let's dig it up a few centuries later. Jesus was faced by sceptics too, you know, they didn't believe him either. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Right? How did Jesus answer the sceptics who, in his day, wanted proof? You know, show us a sign, then we'll believe it. Prove it. Then prove that God's there. Prove there's something. Do a miracle. Then we'll believe you. Will they? No, because they'll explain it away. Coincidence. You know. Freak. Something else. Nothing to do with God. Right. There was a beautiful example of that. I think it's in John's Gospel. Where Jesus is praying, and then he says that God the Father answered him with an audible voice. When Jesus said, glorify me, Father. And then he says, I have glorified and I will glorify. That was the voice that they heard. Jesus heard it and other people heard it. Right? But there was a group of sceptics there at the time as well. And do you know what he says? Little comments. Some said it thundered. That wasn't God talking. It was thunder. It just sounded like a voice, that's all. Yeah, 40 days? Well, God didn't mean it. God didn't mean it. I mean, if they believed in God now, they didn't believe God. That was the point, again. They may believe in God, but God didn't mean it. No, he didn't really want to destroy us like that. You know, he wouldn't have done it. No. Jonah just working himself up and getting us worried as well. Yeah. No, well, Jesus says, a wicked generation asks for a sign. You want to prove it? Yeah. Well, you believe him and you'll find out eventually. Because the day is coming when the judgment will come. Right? And then you'll know for sure. Absolutely, right? So, Jesus says, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. They believe God because Jonah was there. You better believe me and believe God because I'm here, Jesus says. If you believe Jesus, and what's the sign of Jonah? Rising from the dead. Yes? Well, that's the only sign they're going to get. If you will, let me put it this way. If you will not believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, go home. Forget it. Because everything hinges on that. If Jesus didn't really die and rise from the dead, then our faith, our Christianity, is a waste of time. It's ridiculous. It's a fairy story. But if he did really die and rise from the dead, everything's different. Everything's different. Because his death now means it was important. Because he rose from the dead, but he died. It means what he died for was something special. It was you and for me. And he rose from the dead. If he's really risen from the dead, then death's not the end. This is not the end of the world, dear friends, when you die.
No. Death is not the end, because Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. So, there, the sceptics. Well, the sceptics will still be around, dear friends, until... Do you know what he says at the end, in Revelation? Every mouth will be stopped. The sceptics will go, I was wrong. It's too late. Too late. Right. Okay, so let's move on, yes. Last of all, this is for chapter 4. Jonah goes out of the city, sits down and waits. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Wait for the clock, yeah? Right. Well, there's just been the most tremendous revival going on in here. And you know, what he says in heaven, when someone turns to Jesus and asks for forgiveness and experiences God's grace and love, what do the angels do? Yeah. There's a party! I mean, there's thousands of them in Nineveh. Turn to God. There's a party going on in Nineveh and in heaven. But there's a party pooper sitting outside. Right, long-faced Jonah. Chapter 4 is how about God deals with this reluctant missionary. You know, God loves Jonah too. And he wants to sort him out as well. Which is just as well, isn't it? Right? This story has a happy ending. Which is great, isn't it? Even with Jonah. But we'll have to leave him a week, being miserable. We've got 40 days to last up here, so beyond that. So, you've got the message. Today is all about repentance and faith in God leads to salvation. There is a judgment day coming. If you don't respond and believe God, you'll face the judgment. But if you do respond and believe God, forgiveness is yours. And the good news is, the people of Nineveh, they go to heaven. Because Jesus says they're going to rise at the resurrection. Their bodies are down here on earth, you know, their bodies were buried, so on. But their spirits, when their bodies separated, go to heaven. And the day is coming when they're going to have a new body to match the resurrection life. They're going to live forevermore. So, men of Nineveh, they're having a great time now. So can you. Let's pray. Bless you, Lord, for your love. And I just pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, that we may make that response of trusting you, Lord, believing you in what you say about our place, our condition, where we're at, the danger we're in, and the joy and the blessing that's ours through faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for showing mercy to that great crowd of people in Nineveh. Thank you, Lord, they figured out that you were a God who was willing to forgive as they were willing to change. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that must have worked in them, Lord, because without it, Lord, people just carry on the same old way. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful. Lord, we see it written 1,000 times here in this story. What a merciful God. And once again, Lord, just say thank you. The word of the Lord came to Jonah 2nd time. Lord, even when we've missed it the first time round, Lord, you're willing to show us mercy. Our Lord, no. Myself, and I'm sure there are others here, how many times did we hear the good news of Jesus and his forgiveness and his love? The Lord just walked away until the day dawned when the light opened and we saw it at first, at last. Thank you, Jesus, for being patient with us. Lord, may your word come to our hearts again and again until we say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. Help us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.